trusting God sometimes, even when, you know, especially when things aren't going the way you want them to go. But as Christians, we're told by the Bible, you know, God's Word. He says, trust in the Lord and He'll provide. Go with my first example. If you want to follow, I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 12. And I'm going to start in verse 11, go through 18. It says, this is Abraham was going to Egypt, and says, it came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarah his wife, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and it will come about when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you. And it came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Therefore, he treated Abraham well for her sake, and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here's your wife. Take her and go. Now, Abram was thinking that if they saw Sarah as his wife, that they would kill him because they would want her for their own. So, at that point, Abram didn't trust in God that he would keep them safe and that the Egyptians wouldn't kill him to take his wife from him. And there's another instance where this happened in Genesis chapter 20, starting in verse 2 and going through verse 8. It says, Abram said to Sarah his wife, see, she is my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, said and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married. Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay a nation even though blameless? Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in his dream, yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you, that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. So there's another instance where Abraham didn't trust that God would keep him safe and protect him due to him having a wife and his fear that they would take her from him and kill him. Abraham's not the only prophet and major personage of the Bible that had trouble trusting in God. We know the story of Moses when God called him to be the person to bring his people from Egypt. And Moses told God, says, God, I think you've got the wrong person. I'm no great person. I'm not some hero that I should be leading these people out of Egypt and take them to the land that you have set apart for them. But God showed him that, you know, just because he was sending him didn't mean he was going alone. He told him that, I will go with you. And he said, don't worry about what to say. I will tell you what to say. So even though Moses didn't trust him at the beginning, God gave him reason to trust him. Okay, now on the flip side, we have an instance where Sarah, Abraham's wife, didn't believe in God, or didn't trust in God. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, we have the story where Sarah was trying to have a child to give Abraham an heir, and she was having trouble. She couldn't conceive. So starting in verse 1, it says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarah said to Abram, May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. And verse 6, Abram said to Sarah, behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight. So Sarah treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. So even though Sarah had given Hagar to her husband, after the conception she was despised because she was jealous that Hagar was going to give Abraham a son or a child, and she wasn't. And then in chapter 18, another situation where Sarah was trying to conceive for Abraham. Starting in verse 10, says, and he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced and aged. Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you, at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. So even though Sarah didn't trust that she could have a child, God showed her that anything was possible as long as he was there to make it possible. And even with them being as old as they were, Sarah gave Abraham a son. So even if we don't think something would happen the way we want it to, God has his timing, whether it's in sync with what we would like or not. As long as we trust in God, he'll be there to protect us and to keep us safe and provide for us when we need it. Now, going on to Genesis chapter 19. Now, this is when God was looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were sinning against God. We're going to go to... We'll start in verse... We'll start in verse 19. So, "Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest the disaster overtake me and die." Now, this is where Lot is trying to escape from Sodom and Gomorrah, because there were people that were sent to help destroy the two cities. "Now, behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there, that my life may be saved." And he said to him, "Behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground. But his wife, from behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, when Lot and his family were told to escape from Sodom and Gomorrah, they were told, "Do not look back." Yet, Lot's wife didn't trust in God. She looked back, and he turned her into a pillar of salt. So there are many reasons for us to trust in God, whether it's something simple or whether it's possibly fatal. Okay. Another passage with Abraham is when he had his son conceived, Isaac, and God went to Abraham and told him to take his son to an altar that he specified and put him up on the altar and sacrifice him as an offering to God. And this is in Genesis chapter 22. Okay. There we go. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there, arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for burnt offering in the place of his son. So here's an instance where Abraham actually trusted in God. He was willing to do anything that God told him to do because he He had the fear of God in him. And he trusted in God. Especially after what he went through before. So he was willing to take his son, his only son, and sacrifice him to God. Because he knew whatever God wanted, you know, he would do for him. He trusted that God would either spare his son, or if he was to be killed, then God would provide a way for him to come back to him, maybe raise him from the dead or to give him another son. But Abraham did what he thought was right because God told him to. So no matter what God tells us or has planned for us, as long as we trust in Him, He is going to show us the way. He'll provide for us, give us what we need, take away what we don't need, and He will keep us safe and grant us whatever He will for us, as is His will. As long as we know that it is His will that we're doing, not ours, and we trust in Him. Another example is the story of Esther. When she was very trusting in God, and she was in a bind because there was an edict in the land to annihilate all of the people, all of her people. And she took the risk of her own life in order to save the life of all the people. And she approached the king, even though that it was against the law, or without a summons from the king, you could not approach the king. But she took her life in her hands to save her people. And she went to the king asking for a pardon for her people. So with her trust in God, he was able to help in order to keep them from being annihilated by the king. Passage in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13 talks about putting your trust in God. Let's start in verse 9. It says, "But we do see Him who has been made for a little while lower than angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim them or proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing thy praise. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death are subject to slavery all their lives. So once again, if we trust in God, we see that we are redeemed through Jesus. He so much as says that we are his brothers, those that are sanctified. Those who sanctify and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. So he calls us his brother. And said, I'll put my trust in him, the children whom God has given me. So if we believe, we can be saved. If we trust, he will show us that we can have anything that he has as long as God is willing to give it. In Psalms chapter 56, it talks about trusting in God versus trusting man. And we'll start in verse 8. It says, Thou hast taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Then mine enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Thy vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. So here we see that as long as we trust God, He will provide. It says, it doesn't matter what man does to me, if I trust in God, I have no reason to fear. There's nothing that man can do that God can't fix. So, I hope that through some of these examples we can see that no matter what we go through in life, as long as we trust in God, He will protect, He will provide. He is our Heavenly Father. He gave us life. He created everything. All He wants from us is for us to give everything to Him, and trust in Him, and He will show us the way.